Thank you so much for joining us for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And as I hope you know, or if you don't, we'll tell you right now, that's the hour when we get down to helping you solve your computer problems and maybe some of your connection problems to the Internet as well. And the way that you get hold of us is through our email at internetadvisor.net. Go up to the toolbar, click on Contact Us, and send us the questions. We're going to be having Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and a guest in our studio to help answer those questions. Hello again, this is Foster Brown, and we've got a studio full of lots of experience. Mr. Gary Baker, good to have you here as well.
It's great to be here, ready to answer some questions.
That's
hopefully
right.
Hopefully they're easy ones.
Now, like the movie about the Mad Hatter and the Tea Party, Alice in Wonderland, you know? And you have the mouse yes. that kind of pops out of the tea kettle. This is Ed Riddell's role, because this second hour he pops out.
I do. This is where my adrenaline kicks in.
I thought
in.
He was talking about you wiggling your nose or something.
No. He pops up. Shane Hamlin as well is here in studio. Good to have you here, Shane.
How are you?
Shane, by the way, has his own tech shop and the Sterling Heights area, and that's at Computech Services, which is on Comptech Services.
Comptech Services in 19 and Shaner.
There you go. I keep on putting that U in there because that was CompuQuest. That's right.
Was the old company.
That's right. So Comptech Services is out there. Great shop. He and Paul Gergel and some of the other folks are out there helping people day in and day out with their computers and their problems. So he brings a lot of that hands-on experience. Also with us, we're delighted to have Amanda Lewan, who is with us in studio, has been here before. And Amanda, thank you for sticking around.
Thank you. I'm excited to learn.
Yeah. All right. And I understand you have a boyfriend who is very adept in this area.
Yes. He fixes my computers for me.
So you can pass on some of the things you
So you break them and he fixes them. I have that relationship too.
It's great. Except I made a mistake. We went traveling and I just thought, I'll send it to Geek Squad. And I had such a crazy experience.
Yeah. So what
he's now fixing what wasn't fixed.
Yeah. So $180 and it didn't get fixed, right?
It actually took like a month and a half to get my computer back, and the battery isn't charging now. And so instead of sending it back, Mark says he can go in there and check and make sure it's all hooked up right. He thinks it was just something simple, but
I think someone switched out your batteries on you by accident. And when you send them out like that, you have a desk full of these units, and who knows if they slid the right battery back
in. He said, I'd be surprised if your battery's even there. They just forgot to put it back in.
Yeah, they don't do any of the repairs at the location anymore. It's all shipped out. Yeah.
You know, and we had a listener.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We had a listener that asked us, who can I send stuff to if I wanted a motherboard replaced? And matter of fact, we might be talking to him a little later in the show, but do you guys do that in-house?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a very large HP server right now.
Oh, excellent. That's good to know.
Long cap, so I pulled it out. I was going to repair the caps. So I said, it's just easier.
Oh, you do component level repair. Sometimes.
Not really. No.
I don't want to go blind.
By the way, lady, he's just rolling his eyes because it is tiny work, isn't it?
I was a couple months ago soldering a bunch of boards for the vaults that go into the gas stations, these little circuit boards, and I thought I was going to go cross-eyed and blind.
Is that why there's so many Band-Aids on your fingers today?
I didn't.
Well, I wanted to say one thing before we get to talking about repairing computers, what you guys have had your hands in. Shane, you talked about something before the show that I thought you've just got to share with our listeners.
You know, and I'm finding that it's happening more and more. And it comes in
waves.
I'm
amazed when I hear that.
It comes in waves. And they tend to go after the senior citizen or the older couple. I think that's their target. You're gonna
just
get
con artists, right?
Yeah. You're going to get a call, and it's going to be they're going to say they're from Microsoft. And they've received word that your computer is infected, and you need to immediately go on your computer with them. And they'll log you in either with Log Me In or one of those log remote programs.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll go through and they'll show you all your logs, your Windows logs. So all the little errors that normally happen through Windows, they'll show you all these, like, oh, look at all these problems.
Oh, no, look at that.
Which is, it's Windows. Those things are accumulating all the time.
That's right.
You didn't shut down your browser.
It's anything, but it's...
Yeah, they're informational mostly, but they look bad if you don't know what you're looking
big
at.
Big exclamation points, and it scares the people, and they're like, we're going to have to, we can fix the computer, but it's going to cost you $300. And they don't even take credit cards anymore. They make you go off to...
Yeah, well, the credit card company won't pay them, right?
Credit card companies are catching on.
Because they could go back on their credit card and say, that was fraud.
And
boom.
The money's comes
gone.
Back.
So what are they making them do?
They're going to go to Walmart and grab, money cards, Even now, I think Western Union, some of the Western Union, doing that now. And they're taking the money. But what they're doing is, over that course of a few hours working on their computer, and they'll actually go in and act like they're doing something, and they'll download, you know, free AVG. They'll do these things, malware they'll put on there, and they'll act like they're cleaning their computer. But the whole time, they're getting to know the customer.
And that's the con. That's engineering.
The little 300 is just the
amazing taste.
And they'll get to know them, and they'll talk about their family in India and the weather, and, you know, I've got four kids and, you know, a wife and one on the way, and they'll really get you invested in this person.
Yeah, I got that sheep in the yard I got to take care of.
And the people will, over time, you know, and we are, as an Americans, very, very caring, generous people, I'd like to think. And and what happens is, maybe 4 or 5 days later, a week later, you're going to get a personal call from this tech that says, you know, oh, my gosh, I've got to have surgery. I've got appendicitis.
Incredible.
And I can't afford it, and I'm afraid I'm going to die. And they really will drop the death word on.
Utterly
and,
shameless.
I need $3,000. $3,000.
Shame. They actually had a gall?
Yes. And it happens. I mean, you figure, you know, these people are dealing with 100, 200 people at once, this one person. And 1 or 2% bite. I mean,
I've heard the Nigerian scams have worked that way, where they have these sweatshop essentially, where they have people locked down to a desk, and they've just got phone numbers, and they just keep on calling and running the scams.
And I keep, and it's a shame because, and I feel so bad for these people that say they. So now they spent all this money. Now I've got to say, well, unfortunately, we do have a charge, but it's hard. You know, it makes me feel really, really bad.
But folks, again, it's social engineering. Nobody can call you and say, I see your computer and I see the problems you have on it.
Right after the break, I'm going to give you a couple quick tips.
Okay.
To pick
excellent.
Those things out.
And then we're going to talk with somebody who is indeed trying to rebuild a motherboard. That's all coming up as we continue with the Internet Advisor. Thanks once again for being here in this second hour. By the way, thank you again to Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones, is back. Thank you, Annie, for being in studio there. Also, Rich, and I believe it was Mike, who was also there behind the board. Thank you very much, Mike, for helping out, as well as our engineer. We have somebody on the line waiting to talk with us, and that's Fred from Waterford, about rebuilding a motherboard. But before we get to that, you had a couple quick things to say, Shane, before we get to our call.
A couple quick ideas to keep you safe from this is, for one, Microsoft, just so you know, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, your bank, they're never going to call you and say they need you to get on your computer and remote in. So whenever you hear that, completely squash
hang
it
the phone up.
Hang it up. Also, you may hear, you know, you can tell if it's coming from a call center or a call sweatshop. You know, you're going to hear everybody in the background.
Right.
And most cases, they're going to have a foreign accent. You're not going to have someone in Texas doing this.
Right.
Because then you can go after them, but it's going to be out of state. So just remember, no one will ever call you
and
say your computer's in trouble. So
it's like somebody calling you from the bank and wanting all your details on your credit card. Do not do it.
And they will never need money from you, so you'll never have to go to Walmart at 12 in midnight and get them money. So just stay with that, and you should be okay. And if you have any questions, you can go on our website and just email and on the forum or ask us. We'll let you know.
Yeah, just go to the Contact Us forum. That's where we get our emails from you.
Yep.
Speaking of which, Ed, this week we got one talking about a situation with a
Hewlett-Packard motherboard, on a laptop.
Yeah, and if I remember the email correctly, it was just simply that they here I got it. I have an HP Pavilion DB7-4165DX laptop that I believe needs a motherboard replaced. Would you recommend someone to do the job? Please advise. And that was Fred who was asking that question. And Fred, I believe, is with us right now on the line from Waterford. Hi, Fred.
How are you doing?
We're doing very well. Did I understand that you're up to your elbows in motherboards?
Sure, I've done this before.
Okay. So I'll let Ed take the lead on this as you guys talk about what the problem was, how you found out about it.
Well, I mean, from the original email, I think it was his father that basically said, is there a local place that I can do this? Unfortunately, his father did not specify where he lived, and I basically said to him in the email was, you need to provide a location, but then also You know, you could buy these parts for $20 to $50 on Amazon and potentially do it yourself. I actually found a couple of YouTube videos that actually specified exactly how to tear down a laptop. So, Fred, okay, now who are you and what do you have in front of you?
Well, right now I'm his son.
At least until something bad happens.
Until you're cut out of the will. Okay, all right.
Absolutely. I have an HP DV7 laptop,
right.
And it's it will not post black screen.
Yep.
So it's obviously it's a motherboard. I've already popped the memory out and see it, made sure it wasn't the memory or the hard drive.
Right.
Okay.
And it's only a three or four year old computer. Now it's very funny. Is that remember about a month ago, Foster? I was working on the HP Pavilions DV7s that both had video problems.
Oh yeah.
And what was my solution to that?
Oh.
Stick them in the oven at 380 degrees for 8 minutes after I removed them from the
like
motherboard.
Brownies.
And that actually
reseated them, right?
It reflowed.
Reflowed.
Now, and Shane and I had a discussion because Shane actually has a free flow machine in his office.
Yes, I do.
and I did it because I was like, I've heard of people doing this with Xboxes and PS3s because of heatsink problems. Obviously, you're not getting in a post. The problem is probably a little more serious than the oven technique would warrant, because what happened was that the video chip on these was obviously bad.
Okay, and that's what was on the problem.
Yeah. So, but, Fred, what are you doing now? You just taking it apart?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm was looking up motherboards where to take and purchase a motherboard from.
Okay.
I'm here in Oakland County in Waterford, so that's my location.
Okay.
So I can, if there was a place to go take it, I'd have my dad go do it, and he'd get it done.
Oh, okay. So
now, Shane, would you take a board like this and work on it?
Sure. I mean, well, here's the thing. Wherever you go, they're going to order the board.
Okay.
You know, nobody carries stock boards. Because you've got to have the exact match, the model number, everything. If you don't,
I've got all that information ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of the listeners and myself as well, you can't piece this thing out. There's not a part to the motherboard. You got to get the whole motherboard.
Yeah, I mean, any smart or any a tech that knows what they're doing is not when a customer comes to me and says, "Hey, I bought this motherboard and I need you to replace it because it wasn't posting." Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, "Well, I don't know why it wasn't posting. You know, I'll switch out your motherboard, but what happens if it's not the motherboard?"
Yeah.
So any good tech will do a quick diagnostic for themselves to see if maybe he can troubleshoot it shortly and then go from there. And it's always better to let the tech order the parts.
When you say it's not posting, just again, I'm ignorant, what does that mean?
Whenever you turn on a computer, sometimes you'll hear it beep or a post.
Right.
It'll post. It's startup instructions. And you'll hear...
Yeah, power on self-test.
Correct. And it'll power up and it'll check. Do a self-test.
That's what
real
post
quick.
Means.
Yes.
Power on self-test. I get it. Okay, now I understand.
And then boom, if it's not doing that, then in most cases it's usually a piece of RAM, motherboard. You know, it could be anything. Video, it could be anything.
And you will know that's happening, Ed, because nothing appears on the screen.
Nothing appears on the screen. Matter of fact, sometimes what I do, and I'm sure Shane does the same thing, remove all memory from that laptop and power it up, man, you will cause a fault, and sometimes that'll actually get the computer working, because one of the first things it does is it does a memory test, and even though it's not powering up or anything like that, it could be stuck in hibernation. You pull out that memory, if there's any life in that, it'll scream and say, "I'm alive," and you'll see error messages all over the screen. So I've done that before and actually revived computers by pulling out all memory.
And I've had some laptops that won't power up, they won't turn on. They'll hit the button and nothing.
This one, when I end up hitting the button, the power light comes on, the caps light flashes, the Wi-Fi will flash at you.
Oh,
and
you know?
The light on the outside of the display will come on, but that is it. What I've done in the meantime is to completely power down the laptop by even pulling the battery out.
Shane and I are thinking of the same thing. Go ahead, Shane. Go ahead.
Have you hooked it up to an external monitor yet? Or an LCD?
No, I did not do that.
Bada bing, bada boom.
That's your first thing.
DV7. See, the heatsink on this motherboard, because this is what I did a month ago, the heatsink that goes from the processor, it's a piece of copper, hollow tube, that goes over the video adapter and then to the fan, and it causes the video chip on the motherboard to actually get too hot. It breaks all the traces on there, or some key traces. Who knows how the problem is going to manifest, But on the two that I did, one of them, now neither one of them would display on the LCD panel, but they both displayed on the on an external monitor. But even one of them had goofy lines on an external monitor. Yeah. So I think you have...
That's your first thing.
Yeah, external monitor.
Well, that, yeah, but I was going to take and do that, but then, but since the caps light was still flashing at me, and even when I pushed that, it didn't recognize the command to not do that. You know, turn caps off.
Correct. I mean, at least if you do hook it up to an external monitor, there's a couple things you can say. For one, you did it, and two, if there is any kind of an error up there or anything on the screen posting, at least you'll be able to see it. Just in case. It doesn't cost anything. Takes 2 seconds.
Okay. And now, and Shane, you said you had a shop on Shaner and 19.
19 and Shaner, we do it all the time. But what we would do is first do a quick diagnostic on it and then confirm, yeah, it is a motherboard, so let's go there. Because we don't want to waste the customer's money. Because most places, once you order that part...
Yeah, you got it.
That's it, yours.
You're stuck with the price.
It's yours, you know. And,
you're exactly.
And that's why the tech wants to make sure that's probably what the issue is. It's computing. It's not an exact science.
Well, but it is the detective work.
But it is, yes.
It is detective work. Fred, I tell you what we'd like you to do is when you've come to a solution on this and found out what it is, would you let us know? Send us an email at internetadvisor.net. You click on that Contact Us button, or have your dad do that, and let us know what's happening.
Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that this is a 3 or 4 year old laptop, and you might want to consider, okay, what's the cost of getting a new laptop and then getting a drive tray for my existing hard drive that's in there? What's the cost of that as compared to the repair of this 3 or 4 year old laptop?
The price on the laptop was over $800 because it's a 17-inch. And the motherboard replacement, I'm looking anywhere from Amazon of $325 down to about $128.
You're not looking at the right place on Amazon.
Well, I know. I understand what Amazon does.
Okay. It's the Internet Advisor, hour number 2, when we answer your questions. And what we're doing now, by the way, for your information, again, if you have a question for us and you happen to live in any one of our listening areas, if you're listening to the podcast, for instance, or if you're in the Lansing area, out in the Muskegon area, Kalamazoo, Bay City, wherever you happen to catch us here at Lansing, we'd love to answer your questions. And it's as simple as sending us an email. Going to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, fill in that information, and we'll tackle your questions. So, guys, let's go on to another question that we had here. Okay, here. This one comes from Bob, and he says, we cannot bring up our favorites on our laptop. For some reason, we lost them. Can you help? Well, first of all, how do you lose your favorites? And is there a way of getting them back? Have they gone somewhere?
Well, they may have lost the favorites toolbar. There's a little checkbox that you have to click for it to show up on your interface.
Okay, so that may have been one of the things that happened.
It also, what we need to do is probably ask him more questions, but maybe that file that's called favorites is either somehow corrupt, so it's not displaying properly, or... You know, I don't know what else it could be. Is it, you know, we'd have to ask, you know, is this a problem with maybe bad sectors, right, and the hard drive failure? Ed, do you have any ideas?
Well, I mean, that could be, but more, that's really an unusual problem if it's that.
Okay.
A disk corruption. It could be their default browser has changed, right?
Okay.
They got an update. Or, you know, little Joey put down something in it, and it required him to download Google Chrome. You know, and then that became their default browser.
Oh, instead of the one that they had beforehand. And suddenly, when they go to the Internet, they're not aware of it, but what they're seeing as a startup page is completely different.
Now, what Gary's talking about, I mean, think of your favorites is actually a folder underneath your user profile in a Windows machine. And you're right, Gary, you can lose your folder structure, and that could be damaged. It's unusual, but the way you would get there is going into My Computer, and then if it's Windows XP, it's Documents and Settings. And then the user's name, and then you'll see these folders. And hopefully you only have one favorites there. When you click on the favorites folder, you'll actually see there's the list of all your favorites. And you can navigate that way to them as well. And that way you can physically check, if we're talking about Internet Explorer on a Windows XP system, that's where you physically check, are they there? And then you can work on, okay, now how do I get Internet Explorer to display those? And that's where Shane was saying favorites bar, or the menu bar's gone. You know, with upgrades on Windows XP, you know, Microsoft has dropped your menu bar, and everyone's used to hitting favorites, or they're used to hitting the star, like, or the favorites bar. Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe something's changed.
So let's go back to your first potential situation, which was you use a different browser. Let's say it wasn't a little Jimmy, but they decided they wanted to use a different browser. Most of the browsers today will walk you through a few steps, that, and one of them is, do you want to import your favorites?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Sometimes people say no when maybe they really want to say yes. And so this is an opportunity maybe to tell people that as well.
I also have to say that one of the advantages of Google Chrome, if I'm remembering correctly, correct me on this, guys, is that you can open up a Google Chrome account on a new machine, anything like a tablet or whatever. And as you open it up, if you have a Gmail account, it'll say, would you like to import your contacts?
Yep.
It will import all your settings. That'll be all your favorites and anything else that you have that is on your toolbar there. And suddenly, Shazam, you've got the same toolbar you had on your old machine.
I love it. Shazam.
Does Internet Explorer do that? 11, I don't know if they do or not.
With what?
Well, with importing. If you go to a new machine and you open it up, and you open it up with your Hotmail account,
It's different now. I think they're getting away from getting everything on your machine, and they're really focusing on the cloud, Microsoft. So they're probably not going to do that.
Well, okay. with Windows 8, when you log in, and if you have a Hotmail account,
that's true.
It will suck in all those settings, and it will try to put them in the cloud.
Yes. So that when you go back onto Internet Explorer or whatever else,
a lot of those settings are copied.
Yeah.
You know, I actually haven't tried to do that, and
I don't. Does Firefox,
like.
Does Firefox do that? I don't know.
You know, I haven't used Firefox in so long.
It has been ages since I've used Firefox. Amanda, do you use, what do you use for a browser?
I use Chrome. I have a Chromebook, actually, that I just got. Well, my other computer was getting fixed by the Geek Squad. I switched to, but I love it. Everything's in the cloud. I do a lot of writing, and it's all in Google Docs. I can get it to it anywhere, anytime.
Yep. Big paradigm, a forced paradigm shift, and you're just embracing it. That's great.
Wonderful. And, you know, we were talking off the air just a little while ago, Ed and I, about backups and using online backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would anybody back up today? Mm-hmm. Right? And Ed was going, well, you'd want a backup. I'm going, no, I let somebody else back up. I just use the cloud. I can use Google, and I don't store anything locally anymore. I store everything in the cloud, either on Box, Dropbox,
OneDrive. OneDrive automatically. You can set your
automatically.
You and I both use Service Pros too.
That's right,
and you can automatically set it so it saves everything to OneDrive.
And everybody, you know, can do that now.
Yeah.
Right.
So. And so people know OneDrive was SkyDrive.
I did not know that. It's Microsoft. Thank you for clarifying that.
So
now Microsoft works, Amanda, and the way that you can set it up. So if you do a Word document, you want to save it, it will automatically save it to the cloud, to the OneDrive. And that then has a OneDrive folder on your computer where you will also have access to it. And if you update one, you update the other.
And it's just like Google does the exact same thing, right?
One problem, however, you cannot, for instance, with Dropbox, you can go to a file in Dropbox, right-click and say share, and it will give you an HTML to share that with somebody else. Apparently, you can't do that with OneDrive yet.
Oh, really?
It's a rather complicated process. I heard somebody talking about.
I use Dropbox. I use Box. Only because I'm testing them all out. And and really, there are some differences.
Oh, by the way,
you have to really go look for them.
Dropbox,
otherwise, they work well.
Dropbox just changed now. By the way, you get a terabyte of storage
for
$10 a month.
Oh,
well, and
that's their pro.
So I've never the reason. There's two reasons that I'm using all of these, right? One is because I test them all out, and the other is I'm too cheap to pay for it, so I don't pay for any of it. When I run up against, I store some stuff in Box, some stuff in Dropbox, and then I can take and flip back and forth between them and keep, you know, other things separate from other things. And by the way, I just use the free version of all of them.
Yeah, Shane,
$10 a month. Why? I am a Microsoft Slacky.
You can't buy a hard
listen.
You can't buy an external hard drive to back it up.
But let me tell you something. If you're going to spend $10 a month on iDrive, spend $10 a month on Office 365 and get everything plus a terabyte.
Plus a terabyte.
Yes. You do. So, and that's what I do.
You do get a terabyte of storage up there.
And if, like you were saying, you can't share. If you go to the public area, you can share folders in the public area. There's a public area for iDrive now.
That's true.
And you can set it to whoever you want. You know, you can put their email address and share it with you or whomever.
So I pay $99 and I get that much for four of us.
No,
actually, it's for five. I only have four in my account. So if somebody needs me to adopt them, they can have my other account.
Share something you said, Amanda, it struck a chord with me. I heard somebody commenting on this the other day that, Ed, your kid's in college and Amanda, you're in your mid-20s. You know, that you are a generation that's grown up working with like Chromebooks where everything's in the cloud, and you would not necessarily be thinking about getting a computer with everything on your computer anymore.
Yeah, when I went away to college, it was like that. I think the Chromebook, I'm one of the first, my friends don't really have them, and I have one of the latest ones, which my boyfriend and his brother, who are very like computer guys, they said the latest is the best.
You can call them geeks. That's okay.
They're,
you won't be offended.
Yeah. They said the latest one is the best. But like, I think, so one thing, we were talking about remote workers, we use something called Asana. It's a little bit different than Basecamp, more detailed.
Yep.
On the cloud. Right now it's free. When they start charging us, we'll probably
tell
be
me what
a
it is.
Worried.
You said Asana?
Asana. It's like A-S-A-N-A. And I think it was either from like Google programmers or Facebook programmers started it. But we try to work remotely when we're not at Bamboo or when we're like updating each other.
So it's a collaboration software, Gear?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I think a lot of startups use those tools. And so it kind of like, if I'm already working on the cloud or working online in all of these places, I might as well just keep doing it and put it all there.
You know, it's been said that the changes that Microsoft is making with the disaster of Windows 8, although it really wasn't that big a disaster, they just took a gamble. And because of that,
it was not so much of a disaster, but the media the tech writers just really blew
shoot
it out of proportion.
Up, spit shoot it out.
Very easy to hear.
Threshold is coming up.
Yeah.
That's
supposed to be, that's a marketing disaster. Yeah. They need to have better brand love.
Yeah, oh,
that's right.
Absolutely. They ought to shoot whoever's doing their marketing
for
them.
Which I think they're doing a better job now.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
Oh, and they did shoot that person.
Pardon me for him. Yeah. But I mean, one of the things I think is happening is, and the commentary I heard was saying, is Microsoft better get their brains working on the in the cloud. And I think Sasha Nadella has come in and is definitely focused that way. So, for instance, Microsoft Office for the iPad and Microsoft Office for Android, all of these things are working in the cloud right now. And that's a really, really important distinction because it's beginning all to work in the cloud. Hey, in just a minute, we'll be back in just a second to talk with William from Clarkston about some thoughts he has on Windows XP as a virtual machine. Welcome back to this second hour of the Internet Advisor. A special program for those of you who are listening to us live on WJR. You notice that we only had that first hour that was live, and then this second hour has been pre-recorded. Now, you folks who are our affiliates get to hear the whole thing in one nice long piece in our podcast, and thank you very much for being part of that. Thank you again to Annie Nichols, our Lady of the Phones, who's back with us again. Delighted to have her, and Rich and Mike, who are on the are the folks who have been running the board for us. Thank you so much. Also in studio with us, Amanda Lewan. Thanks so much. It's been fun having you here.
Thanks for having
she
me.
Brings an energy in here.
She? I tell you, this is
bubbly. Yes,
bubbly. I love it. The excitement about what's going on in Detroit. Amanda, by the way, is if you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you'll find links to bamboodetroit.com, and also, which is a place that you have for startups in downtown Detroit, and then also to Michipreneur.com, which is a blog, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we're trying to make it more of an online community. We're adding a job board and other resources and interaction to it. But
great collaborative tool.
She's been showing off her new Chromebook over here.
I know. We're all fascinated to see how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary, we've been
tiny. It's white.
Yeah, we've been trying to get. Cool. We've been trying to get Chromebook.
Now, is that Chromebook a touchscreen as well?
No.
She's looking at it. She wants to see it.
It was like $250. I bought it because I was traveling, and my other one was getting fixed. I really needed a computer, so
bam, done. I love it.
And you store everything in the cloud. And by the way, that then you can use it on any device you have, which all of us are carrying more than one device today. Right.
And you could go from whatever programs you've opened up there, you can open up another machine, and suddenly, boom, you've got your signature and you're in.
Yep.
All right, let's go to, we have a caller right now with us. There's somebody that emailed us with a kind of a fascinating question to me, one I passed on immediately to Ed.
and I passed on to Shane.
He's trying to pass it on to me.
And he passed it on to Shane.
And I'm just passing on to me.
All right, well, Bill Landis is with us from Clarkston. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Bill, you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, we got you. Hey, now, Bill, the email, let me just read it because that'll kind of set the stage. I run a Windows XP as a VMware Workstation 8 virtual machine. The host machine is a Dell Inspiron 17R with Windows 7 Home Premium 64-bit. I use Trend Micro Titanium Internet Security on both machines, host and virtual. I use Mozilla as my browser. Windows 7 is set up for automatic updates. What are you thinking about running Windows XP on a virtual machine? What do you think of that subject? Well, Shane, what were your thoughts?
Well, I want to ask.
So let's clarify some things, Bill.
Okay.
So via virtual machine, why are you running a virtual machine?
Because of the fact that I travel back and forth between here and in the south for the wintertime, and I had a desktop computer and was told that you shouldn't be taking a tower back and forth on an airplane because we fly back and forth between Texas and Michigan.
That's a good idea. For extra luggage, it costs you more.
Yeah. Well, so what I do is the Windows 7 is a laptop.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I've got a monitor and a keyboard, both here in the home in Michigan and the home in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent.
All right.
So what I do is, for convenience sakes, I just pack the Windows XP laptop in a laptop carry-on case because we don't want to have any carry-on luggage. Just put it in a computer case and take it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I use it in the virtual machine seemed the best way to go because I wanted to keep Windows 7, and what I had was originally I had a Windows 7 desktop computer set up the way I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who is very knowledgeable in computers set the Windows 7 desktop and Windows XP desktop onto the Windows virtual machine running off Windows 7. In other words, the Windows XP virtual machine I've got is nothing anywhere compared to what I had when I originally bought the machine. I've done a lot of tweaking to it to my own personal advantage. And I'm very happy with using it.
Okay, you customized
like
it, and you didn't want to change.
Okay, so bottom line, he's running a laptop with Windows 7 on there that he takes
Correct.
Back and forth between two
right.
locations.
Right.
But what I'm trying to figure out is why would you want to run Windows XP inside Windows 7? I mean, I know some people have done that for like running JAWS or for backwards compatibility or for their scanner because they
CAD
didn't want
programs.
Well, yeah, and CAD programs. But why do you want to run Windows XP when you have Windows 7? Is it
because I like Windows XP much better?
Okay,
and
gotcha.
Windows XP that I've got it set up with my icons.
You tweaked everything. Okay.
Make a short story fast. I like the features of Windows XP. That's why I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so you wrote this, and you're asking us of what? Our opinion of the idea? Because I think it's a novel solution to what you were trying to accomplish. You liked Windows XP. You didn't want to change. You came up with a Windows 7 laptop. You're going back and forth. And if it works for you, great. Because Windows 7 in a virtual environment, you could save that off. And I've done this years ago, unfortunately. And I burned it onto a CD. So I have a snapshot of my Windows XP customized the way I liked it. I burned it to a DVD. And I said, because it's a single file. And I said, it's going in the safe. I like it just the way it is. Bam. Mm-hmm. So if I ever get a virus, I could run the virtual machine off that CD and then resave it to my computer.
Now, the question I have for all
so
of you guys.
I've done this.
All right, a question I have for all of you guys, the professors who are assembled here, for Bill and for me, is Windows XP, even inside a Windows 7 machine that's well-protected, is it safe?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the only way I'd run XP. And I believe it is. It could get corrupted, but then it's in your virtual machine.
Correct. Your overall install of that it can be, but you wipe it and put it right back on.
And he may not be doing that because you're running it and you're a laptop and you're happy and you're going back and forth, but you may not have made a backup copy of your virtual machine.
I save everything to the external hard drive.
Well, that's true. You save everything to the external hard drive, but your Windows XP virtual machine is stored on your Windows 7 machine, right? Mm-hmm. Have you got a safe copy of that?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, there you go. Good.
You know. So, William, I'm
it's a novel approach.
It certainly is, and it takes all kinds of people, but it seems to me that you are technical enough to be able to run a virtual machine, and you don't want to give up XP. I know there are people that want to keep their old Rambler running, and they spend a lot of time and energy, and to be able to do that, and it's okay, right? And your question was, is it safe to do that? And I think you're right; it is safe.
Yeah.
In the event, Shane said it, in the event that for whatever reason you get corrupted, you don't have. First of all, I would not put, I would keep anything sensitive out of that virtual machine. You're only going to run, other things that if you have to blow it away and reinstall and put XP back on it, you can do that. Yeah. So I think that's what you're doing, right?
Shane, what are your thoughts?
Because this is not a typical consumer question, right?
But
you're pretty technical to be able to
do this. It's an answer. I think in some ways it's an answer like to the woman who wrote us and said, I have a sewing machine program
that worked
on XP doesn't work when you go up. So
to do that.
And he has the same kind of thing. He personally wants XP, so that's his reason.
And
that's why XP 7, that's why 7 Pro allows you to do that for people to run that in virtual mode.
William,
and he found a way to do it. A good way.
We've got to wrap it up right now. William, thanks so much for coming in and calling and talking with us.
Thanks for your advice. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I want to thank one
smart guy.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And a fascinating solution to the problem that many people talk to us about. I want XP. That's why I'm doing it. Keeping a virtual machine. Amanda, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Lady, we're going to be seeing you. All right. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Shane, thanks so much for being here. Eddie, Gary, thank you.
My pleasure.
By the way, folks, next week we will be on live on WJR, and that's going to be September the 6th from 3 until 5 o'clock. That's 3 until 5 o'clock. You will be able to call in that program next week, September the 6th, live from 4 until 5. Thanks so much for being with us this week. Have a great one.